prayer verse and then we'll start. Start again at number verse 6.
Om Kataksha Kirana Chanta Namanmo Habdhye Namaha Anantananda Krishnaya Jagan Mangala Murti Abharupasya Vishwasya Bhanam Bhasan Dervina Kadachin Navakalpeta Bhacha Hantena Sarvagaha Nahi Bhanat Rate Satvam Narate Bhanan Chito Chitaha Chitsam Bhedo Pinadhyasat Rate Tenaham Advayaha Nadeho Nindriyan Chaham Naprano Namano Nadihi Mamata Pariradhatvat Akridatvati Dandiyaha Sakshi Sarvan Vitav Prayan Ahannahan Kadachana Parinama Paricheda Paritapai Rupavavat Suteham Minadrishyante Dukha Dosha Pravrittayaha Atastasyaiva Samsaraha Name Samsartra Sakshinaha. Repeat after me. Sukta Suktin Najanati Sukta Suktin Najanati Na Sukte Swapna Jagarau Na Sukte Swapna Jagarau Jagrat Swapna Sushupti Nam Jagrat Swapna Sushupti Nam Sakshato Han Matad Sakshato Hamatad Drishaha Sakshato Hamatad Drishaha Suktaha Suktim Na Janati Na Asukte Swapna Jagarau Jagrat Swapna Sushupti Nam Sakshataha Aham Atadrishaha Suptaha, the one who's asleep is the Suptaha, the one who's asleep. Suptim, Suptim, Najanati. Najanati, so Suptaha, the one who's asleep, Najanati, does not know the Supti, the deep sleep state. So the one who's asleep doesn't know the deep sleep state, right? Because they're resolved, so there's no subject-object relationship. So the one who goes to sleep does not know the deep sleep state. Na asupte swapna jagarau. And then, for the one asupte, for the one who is not, who the one who doesn't sleep asupte, na means the atma. The one who doesn't sleep, na swapna jagarau. For that one, there is no waking and dream. So the one who goes to sleep, that's the ahankara, for that one, there is no deep sleep, because that one's in deep sleep, right? So the one who goes to deep sleep, for that one, there's no deep sleep, okay? Does not know deep sleep. And then for the one who doesn't go to sleep, there is no waking and dream. Jagrat swapna sushupti nam. For the waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state, Sakshataha, from the standpoint of the Sakshi, aham atadrishaha. For the Sakshi, that such that ahankara, an ahankara like that, is not there, from the standpoint of the Sakshi. For the Jagrat Swapna Shushupti Nam Sakshataha, aham atadrishaha. Let me just check something there, sorry, 1 second. Okay, I just wanted to refresh myself on this commentary. I'll just kind of tell you what it says and then we'll unfold it because it's really a nice thing. He says, asupte, for the one who is not asleep. What that means is Sushupti. Sushupti means the deep sleep state. The Sushupti Avastha. An Avastha is a considered is a technical term. An Avastha is a state of experience. So there are three Avasthas. The waking state, right? The waking state, the dream state, and then the deep sleep state. Each one is an Avastha. And so in terms of the prakriyas, this particular prakriya is called the Avastha Traya Sakshi. The one who is the witness of the three Avasthas. Avastha Traya, group of three. Avastha Traya Sakshi. So the witness of the three states of experience, waking, dream, and deep sleep. So here what he's saying is that, say in the deep sleep, it says, Shuptaha Suptin Najanati. In the deep sleep, the one who has gone to sleep doesn't know that Avastha, because asleep, right? So that one's not going to know because asleep. Okay, so he says, you know, therefore, the asupte, in the one who is not asleep, so that means not asleep means sushupti is the deep sleep, sushupti avastha rahita, the one who is free, rahita, when it's at the end of the compound, it means the one who is free from. So the one who is free of the sushupti avastha, so the one who is not asleep means the one who is free of that deep sleep state. It's not going to be the ahankara. The only one that's free of that deep sleep state is the Atma. So in other words, the Pratyagatmani, in the innermost self, the Atma, which is free of that Sushupti Avastha. So Asupte means that Pratyagatma who is not asleep, who is the one who is not asleep, means who is free of that deep sleep state. For that one, what is left, the Swapna, the dream state, and the jagara, swapna jagara, na bhavata. For that one, there is no dream state or waking state, because the Atma, who never sleeps, is not subject to the deep sleep state, is also not subject in any way to the dream state or the waking state. From that, from the nature of the self, from the self, which is the luminary of that, is not a knower of that. Because even the vrittis themselves are maya, right? The knower-known relationship belong to maya, right? Think of it when you wake up from a dream, the dream is known, the whole dream is known, right? And also if you're identified with a character within the dream, that subject-object knower-known relationship is there. But the being able to know the dream means the dream must be there, right? If the dream isn't there, it's not going to be known. It requires to be there to be known. And similarly, within the dream, in order for there to be a knower-known relationship, the knower upadhi has to be there in order for something to be known, which would mean that within the dream itself, that knower, that jiva, has to have functioning sense organs and a functioning mind in order to have a vritti, in order to have the experience of the dream. Now say the jiva is not there within the dream, right? Then that jiva, there's not going to be any experience of the dream from within it. From without it, as Ishwara, it's similar. There can be no experience of Ishwara without Ishwara being there. I mean the Maya Upadhi. The Maya Upadhi cannot be experienced unless it is there.
Okay.
Now, so we have to go one step more than this. That's probably clear, right? If the knower or the tools of knowership are not there, I'm not going to experience the objects of knowledge that can be experienced through the tools, the pramana tools, like your sense organs, for instance. So you can think of it just in a very kind of simple way, like if I'm blind, all of these things are there, but there's no mechanism, there's no instrument for me to experience that. So now say you get rid of each one of the instruments of knowledge, then the object of knowledge is not going to be available to you, right? That knower known thing cannot be happening. And so now say if you get rid of not only all the objects of knowledge, you get rid of the vritti also, because the vritti belongs to the mind. You get rid of the buddhi and the ahankara. Now again, even on a deeper level, there's not going to be anything which is being perceived, because the perception requires the instruments of knowledge, and of course the vritti is the instrument of knowledge for the mind. Clear? So for there to be a subject-object relationship, you have to have a knower with its pramanas and the known within the creation. Mm-hmm. Now look at the whole creation yourself itself. Say you have an imagination. You are the self of that imagination. You're not identified with a character inside, say, initially. You're just having an imagination. Say you have an imagination of a beautiful meadow or imagination of a garden or whatever it is. You have that imagination. That imagination is known, okay? Because sattva, rajas, and tamas, the sattva is pervasive, as though reflects consciousness, so the whole imagination is known. Now get rid of the imagination. Right? It's not known because it's not there. But it's more than that. It's not known true. It's not known because it is not there to be known, but also from the standpoint of the self, which is asanga, the self has no sense organs, it has no mind, it has no pramanas, it has no vrittis, you know, in order to in any way be an instrument of knowledge or to have knowership. It is simply consciousness. There is no instrument for it to be conscious of something, you know. So, like, say you have the imagination. That imagination, that's the instrument of that imagination, is the vritti. Right. And that vritti then will be stored in the citta, in the memory. Right. But the vritti and the citta, the memory, that's all part of maya. And so where is the experience of the vritti from the standpoint of the atma, from consciousness? From the standpoint, because the vritti is not in consciousness as an attribute of consciousness. The vritti is an attribute, you can say incidental attribute, that exists within the maya upadhi. So all the whole maya upadhi has for its being consciousness, right? It has for its being knownness. And so whatever manifestation is there, it is known only through ajasa, right? It has no knownness of itself, in and of itself. The knownness belongs to the very being for which this maya, from which this maya manifestation takes place. So from my standpoint, like right now, in reference to the manifestation of this creation which you're experiencing right now, as a jiva, you're experiencing it, but you are experiencing it through your sense organs, which are giving you a vritti. The vritti is being experienced. How is it that the vritti is being experienced? It's being experienced because it's not inert. Why is it not inert? Because actually it is. It's an object of consciousness. I'm the subject, that is the object. But because of the maya, because of the sattva, rajas, and tamas, this as though reflects consciousness in the sense that the vritti is there, and the consciousness, the knownness of the self, right, is superimposed on that vritti from the standpoint of who? From the standpoint of me. It's a beautiful thing to meditate upon, because how it resolves is that actually these nama rupas are there, these names and forms are there, but really there's nothing there but me, because I am the sat chit of the experience. I am the being of the experience. I am the knownness of the experience. And I superimpose that being upon the experience and the knownness upon the experience. So maya is just like a display. It's a mithya display of my being that totally enjoys me. It enjoys me as sat, as the existence and as the knownness. You know, I'm the existence and the knownness of that experience. And so from the whole creation, it's a display of, it's a mitya display of me. It's a beautiful manifestation of me. I am its being. And then within that infinite display, there are jivas. And the jivas have sense organs and mind, which create the vrittis, limited vrittis of knowledge, which are part of that infinite display. So it's kind of like a, you know, in a sense, a little hologram, where I'm replicating myself over and over and over. It's like little bitty limited Ishwaras over and over and over and over again. You know, in the terms of a vritti. Ishwara is an infinite vritti as though. And every jiva has a limited vritti within, you know, limitless jivas within a whole. And each limited jiva has an experience, a total experience of the vritti which is known. Now, just another little thing there. Here, you are knowing this room, right? You have a vritti. As long as your sense organs are open, you have a vritti. This room is known to you. But included in that vritti is this body, right? This body is included in the vritti. And then there are all of these other things going on, you know? Vrittis within vrittis within vrittis. Your emotions are included in the vritti. The ahankara is included in the series of vrittis that are taking place right now, you know? And all of them are known, 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 known. I am the knownness, right? I am that which illumines all of these, and that is translated into the experience of knownness. But from my standpoint, whether those vrittis are there or not, I am just the Satchitatma, the knownness. I am the self-evident me. These vrittis, this maya, doesn't exist within me as an attribute, as though some part of me is the knower of the vritti, that I have some relationship with the vritti. I have no relationship with the vritti at all, other than from the standpoint of the vritti, I am its being. So here, that's what's being conveyed. Notice that when the ahankara, there meaning the mind that is enjoying consciousness, so the sense of me, that sense of me that the mind enjoys is the ahankara, if there's ajnanam, because the mind takes itself to be that sense of me, the atma. So that taking itself to belong, the mind taking itself to the self to belong to me, when that mind goes into unmanifest condition, into deep sleep, all of a sudden now that there is no knower. There is no knower. That's where you go into deep sleep. There is no means of knowledge, right? There's no sense organs, and the mind is in unmanifest condition. So there is no knower and there is no known. There's no subject-object relationship at all. So the suptaha, that ahankara, means the one identified with the mind, you know, goes into unmanifest condition, and now there is no knower known experience there. So now he goes on and says, na asupte swapna jagara, and in the one who is not asleep, which is what? It's not going to be the mind. It's not going to be the ahankara. It's only consciousness itself, which is consciousness itself is not asleep because it itself is free of all three avastas, waking, dream, deep sleep. So it says that one who is not asleep, and for that one, there is no waking state or dream state inside of it. Right? There's in me, there is no waking state and no dream state. There's no deep sleep state either, right? There's no waking state because in the deep sleep state, the one who has not slept, the Atma does not go to sleep, right? When the ahankara goes into unmanifest condition in the dreams, in the deep sleep state. And when it is awake, right, and the world is awake, and we have this subject-object relationship going on in the waking state and the dream state, from the standpoint of the Atma, there is no waking state or dream state. There is nothing being experienced by me because I don't have any sense organs. And I don't have a mind. The sense organs and mind belong to Maya. And so any all subject-object relationship, all knower-known relationship depends upon Maya being there. Maya is not in me. I don't have any attributes to have Maya be part of me. You know, part of me is though an attribute. And so for me, never is anything going on. Right? I'm free. I am totally free of samsara. I'm free of the whole knower-known relationship, even now. Just now as you're sitting here with your sense organs, with you having all of these vrittis and all of these experiences, all of those are taking place. And at the exactly at the same time, there's just simple me who is not changing at all, who is not doing anything, who is not and cannot be affected in any way by whatever is going on. Because I am free of the vritti. The vritti is Maya. You know, I have no vritti. I'm just conscious being. And Maya doesn't have any being, you know, to compete with me. There is only one being. It doesn't have a being of its own to as though compete with my nature. In fact, it has no existence, you know, to exist in me. It's like the pot, you know, trying to abide in me, the clay. The pot can't abide in me. It can't exist in me because there is only me from the standpoint of the clay pot, you know. And from the standpoint of the clay, there is no pot. And from the standpoint of me, there is only me. There's only non-dual conscious being. And you recognize that in terms of your own experience. Like, right, that's why nididhyasana contemplation is so helpful. Sometimes, like if you're doing japa, that's very helpful because you can recognize, oh, the mantra is taking place. Mantra really slows things down. The mantra is taking place, so you have like Om Namah Shivaya, silence. Om Namah Shivaya, silence. Om Namah Shivaya, silence. That's how you see it at first. And then, as you've done it for a while, you recognize very clearly, distinctly, that the mantra is rising and setting in a silence which remains totally undisturbed. That the mantra doesn't touch the silence in any way. The silence of my being which is silence. Not that I'm only silent. Silence is an objectified experience, but the self is silent. Okay, so the mantra is taking place in me. I'm not doing anything. When the mantra is there, it is known. But I recognize that I am doing nothing to know it. Nor from my own standpoint is it known at all. It is known because it is there and it enjoys my being. But from my standpoint, there is nothing there but me. And this is really aparoksha. It becomes very self-evident in something like when we do japa. You realize that you simply are. And that being that you are is whole and complete, cannot be improved on. No, nothing from the world, no collection of things, no collection of objects is meaningful in the light of my own nature. It's as if silly. I would rather have that or that, that kind of thinking won't even come there. There's just no comparison toward the wholeness and the beauty of the self for whom this is a mithya manifestation. I am the one because of whom there is this manifestation. It's a manifestation, mithya manifestation of something unspeakable in its nature. It's just to be the wholeness of yourself, the beauty of yourself is something to be appreciated because it's not comparable to anything in the world, you know. And so in nididhyasana, you recognize yourself as completely free from any of the mithya experiences, free to the point of they're not even there from my own standpoint. As long as they're there, they're known. But I'm not the knower. The vritti in which the self is as though manifest, right, is known. But that doesn't involve anything on my part because I'm the conscious being from which this mithya manifestation comes. So there's no subject-object relationship for me. So that's something to be appreciated even while you're walking around and talking and, you know, living your life, to recognize this me, your own presence, is just always the same as it is. It's never ruffled, nor can it be ruffled, because from its standpoint, there's nothing there other than myself. So then he says, because of being the Sakshi, Sakshitaha, because of being the Sakshi, means if I have a subject-object relationship with anything, I don't take on the gunas or the qualities of those things. That doesn't belong, they don't belong to me. Knowership is a quality of the waking dream, of the waking and dream. Doership is a quality, belongs to the waking and dream. The one that illumines that is free of that objectified quality. So that means for me, there is no knowership, there is no doership. Those things are objectified. So from my own standpoint, I'm completely free of that. So the I, you know, because I am the Sakshi, because of being the Sakshi, I am not like them. I am not the same as the waking dream and deep sleep. So the qualities and attributes that belong to the waking dream and deep sleep state, because they're objectified, have nothing to do with me. The subject is never the object. So I'm free of all of that. Okay. And that's the best I can do with this. Yeah, it's over. This class is over for the day. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.